back to Birthday Capiche, Episode 3, with me, Ankur Desai.
And Racer Faruqi.
Today's episode is the second part of our three-part series exploring Indian cinema's change from Hindi cinema to Bollywood.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to call this,
this episode? This episode is...
Hungry... No, not hungry. Angry Young India.
I was thinking that
because perfect. I think anger is a big theme in this era.
For sure.
Yeah, so we're talking about kind of like the 1970s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like a good exploration of, or a good lens to look at how the transition happened with Hindi cinema to Bollywood, because... Well, the big obvious one is that Amitabh's status as the angry young man
mm-hmm.
sort of came with the movie we're going to be discussing today, but also the climate at the time, socially and politically,
yeah.
was a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Authority, not just politics-wise, but also religion, society.
Yeah. And, like, not just in India, but all over the world, too. It was, kind of crazy time. And, like, we'll be talking about, like, the emergency that happened in India, which, like, I didn't know too much about, actually, until we were researching
mm-hmm.
for this episode. Did you know much about
emergency? Almost, like, very little. I mean, I grew up in India, so I had, like, a basic understanding of it.
Mm.
It was, like, this two-year period where Indira Gandhi, the then prime minister, just declared emergency.
Yeah, and, like, I guess she declared it because people were, like, thinking she did fraud in, like, her election.
Exactly.
Like, dude.
Yeah, like, people are questioning your authority like they should be.
She's like,
no.
I'm just gonna take away all your rights and just create laws.
Exactly.
Like, because I want to.
And exploit
poor
people.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, no wonder things were crazy back then, and the art at the time reflected that. Yeah, we decided on two films, to look at, like we did last time, and I think, like, these two films really showcase, like, all of really what we're trying to, like, speak to in this episode.
Yeah. The two films that we decided to look at are Yaadon Ki Baarat, released in 1972.
It's 1973.
And the second film that I decided to look at was Diwar, released in 1975, which is when the emergency was called by Indira Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, these two are very different films, but they definitely explore the two topics we're going to be discussing heavily. Yaadon Ki Baarat is considered to be the first film that introduced the masala film genre to Bollywood, or, like, to Indian cinema.
Which, like, I think became what we know as Bollywood
mm-hmm.
today.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, and Diwar, on the other hand, definitely taps into the anger that was felt by the general public at the
mm-hmm.
time, definitely, like, the younger, like, student population against authoritarian figures like
even laborers too.
And laborers too,
yeah,
for sure.
Which is highlighted in Diwar at the
mm-hmm.
beginning.
Yeah.
There. I guess let's start with the first one.
Yeah.
That came out, Yaadon Ki Baarat. Ankur said released in 1973. In English it's like the procession of memories. That I guess that'd be the translation. What a, like, beautiful title.
Yeah, I know.
It's so, like, oh, so classic. I love it. It's like, ooh, procession of memories. And, yeah, there are quite a lot of memories in this.
A lot.
A song that keeps on being sung throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, but that got stuck in my head for, like, a
stuck
good...
in my head
right? Yeah,
right?
Because
now Yaadon ki baarat nikli hai aaj dil ke dwaare. Dil ke dwaare. All, like, different, like, versions of it.
Yeah.
Like, Dharmendra's character plays it on his harmonica. There's a version that starts off the movie when, like, the entire family sings it.
Yeah.
Then the band version, then by the, what's his character's name?
Monto? Yeah. No, it was Monto.
Monto, right? Yeah.
Monto. Who, like, looked, I don't know, like, he's trying to be, like, a Beatle?
Yeah,
like,
something like
that. Member or something?
Yeah. Like a rejected Beatle.
A rejected Beatle. I really enjoyed his outfits, though. There was a lot of glitter. Yeah, actually, like, all the outfits in this movie were
crazy.
Classy. That's what I was going to say. But, yeah, some cool stuff. Salman Khan's first...
Yeah,
feature great. In a movie, really. It's like a small little glimpse, but he plays, I guess, a little Monto.
Yeah,
he does. He just plays the little Monto. Well, I don't even know what the guy's name. Monto. It is Monto. It is Monto. Yeah, he plays the little Monto. And also you see a bit of Neetu Singh in it. Like, she's hardly there, but... Yeah, I think she was like in B-grade movies before, and then this was like the film that kind of saved her from it. Apparently. But yeah, like, I guess, yeah, quick synopsis of it. It basically, like, in the film, there are three, like, brothers, and their dad's a painter. And one day... You know, they're like a happy family or whatever. And like one day, their dad goes to sell his paintings to a client and witnesses the client getting murdered. Or at least, like, the murderers walking out of the house. And then he goes to the cops. And for some reason, he's like being commissioned to paint. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'll sketch the robbers for you. But like, the robbers go and try and like, get to him, and they see him like painting.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, why? Why didn't they just sketch it at the police?
I know, right? and it's also like really funny because he draws it like a really nice portrait.
Sure,
they're
like, dude, you're taking
so
much time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't blame you.
I get this is your art, but
yeah,
need to
like,
find these
yeah, no shit, you're gonna die in like the next scene. You're taking forever with this painting.
And they're like all. Like, the background has a different color, and, like...
Yeah.
He's, like, so detailed. I'm like, you took way too much time.
On this, bro.
Like, we could have, like, wrapped this
up. Yeah. God.
But no.
Anyways, I wonder, like, yeah, what was the point of him being a painter? Just so him... Like, the character being a painter so he could sketch a painting?
I guess,
like, I don't know. The judicial system in India is whack. just get a sketch artist, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, so the robbers come, and, kill him and his wife to, like, silence them, and the siblings get away, but they're all separated. And this is actually, like, the film that popularized the siblings that are separated but come back together plot line, which is very prevalent in Bollywood. I don't know. I'm sure there were, like, a lot before this film, but this was, like, such a popular film.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, movies that were released in the 70s, like Amara Fuad and Anthony.
Yeah.
You know, movies released after, like, Karan Arjun, and there are more. But, like, this idea of, like, families splitting apart and, like, brothers being split apart due to tragic events is, like, it runs throughout.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Because, and it's, even Diwar is sort of like that. It's like this idea of, like, brothers being split apart due to circumstances beyond
that.
And it's really cool because the biggest, like, analogy you can find is, like, partition and this idea for, like, a country being split apart.
Yeah.
It's so, like, ingrained, I guess, in people's mind. Because it definitely affected a huge chunk of the population, and to kind of expect that, to expect it not to be reflected in art, or, like, whether it be poetry, or whether it be writing, or films, is, would probably be very naive to think so.
Yeah,
so,
of course, It, like, even... not just partition, but, like, India in general was being split all over. I mean, the emergency is a great example of that. Just, like, the divide in, like, between the rich and the poor, or, like, what, you know, corruption.
Yeah, religious lines and everything.
Yeah, so Yeah, no wonder. That's a great viewing of it, and or reading of it, and I think I definitely agree. As they get older, so this is what I found really interesting, and I think this is where the Masala part comes in. So, like, Masala, and we talked about this in the last episode, basically it's just a whole bunch of genres that are thrown together, and that's Bollywood. It's just like...
everything. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not even like what sticks. It's
sticks,
just
yeah.
Everything will stick.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. And when the kids in Yabuki Barath, when they get older, this is when the movie basically becomes three different movies because it follows each character. So, like, when you're watching the oldest son, Shankar, played by Dharminder, it's like an action western movie. And then when you're watching, what's his name? Vijay, the guy who, he's like, he gets adopted by the groundskeeper. Is that his name? Vijay?
So.
Yeah, Vijay. His, like, whole story is really, like, a romantic comedy, really. And then Manto is just, I don't know. Like, he's not really there, but he's, like, a musical.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy. And it goes back and forth between these movies. But, like, the tone and the language of the film just changes automatically. I found it so interesting. And, like, it was so seamless. But after seeing, like, the Hindi movies from, like, earlier, the 60s, 50s, to this, it was such a shift.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's, like, where the Masala comes from. So,
sure.
Yeah, I really like the action western part.
Yeah.
Like, I guess Dharminder was known for, like, I don't know, his parkour moves.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but he does a lot of parkour.
Yeah, he does, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Like, my favorite one, I think, is, like, at the beginning of the movie when they do that huge 360 pan to show him growing old.
Yeah.
And then when the train is coming and he just jumps from the bridge directly onto the train.
So fucking epic.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, I will say, too, like, speaking of the 360, the cinematography in this film is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the editing, it's so nice. And, like, when we talk about Divar, that, too, was also, like, whew, very interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
like, there's a lot of, like, I definitely agree with you that what makes Bollywood film so unique, especially nowadays, is that it is this, like, amalgamation of different genres, and they all, like, transition from one another really seamlessly. Like, you never feel like the action is too much or, like, the comedy is too much. It's so, like, perfectly blended together.
Yeah.
Like, when it's done right, of course. And the romance is there, and everything happens so properly that, you just kind of, you buy it.
Yeah.
You never, like, question it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what's so unique about Bollywood compared to, like, any other popular cinema from any culture, from any country, really.
Yeah, like, playing with, like, the language of film like that, I can't really think of another example in any other, country, really, country cinema. I've never seen anything like it, and now actually being forced to watch for this is, like, to see how it's sewn together, it's, I would recommend everyone try this, because, it's, you're like, whoa!
Yeah, like, even, like, horror movies in this era, like, past this era, they have, like, moments of pure comedy. Like, one example I can think of is, I forget what the title is, but it's Jarvis Mahmood in it, and it's a sort of an adaptation of Agatha Christie's novel, and then they, like,
what was that movie? Like, when they get shipwrecked, and
exactly,
and then
they're like in the,
it's basically
ship.
And then they were
exactly.
Done. Yeah, I forget the name of the film, but
like, that's, like, supposed to be a horror suspense movie, but they're, like, moments of pure comedy, especially with
Mahmood's
character. And it also has, like, one of the most popular, this has one of the popular songs from that era. Again, I can't remember the song either, but
they did it in Ghost World.
Really?
Yeah, wasn't that the opening of Ghost? No.
Yeah, the opening of
Ghost World.
World.
That's
right.
That's the one.
जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो.
It's so like fascinating to watch because especially now as I'm older, because I've been exposed to like all different types of cinemas. And it's so unique because you never see a horror movie where there's like a huge comedy scene or like a huge romantic subplot.
Yeah.
That's done very sincerely and it's not like done for an effect.
Yeah.
Make you like feel like, oh, we're just gonna calm down from the horror.
Or yeah.
It's like they take their time.
It completely just shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you know, there are movies in like Hollywood at the time, or even like earlier British films, which did have moments of comedy and like murder mysteries or whatever, but there was always that underlying like, oh yes, there is a murderer afoot. While in these films, it's like just, oh, let's just forget about the murder for a second and dance or do that. Really interesting. Something I will say about this film, which is really funny, well, you know this, the folks who wrote the film also wrote The Bar.
Yeah, that was a shock.
That was such a shock. I did not realize that they had written both. Because they're so different from one another. And I wonder why they did. I mean, it speaks to their artistry that they can so seamlessly do both. And none of us realized. Well, we didn't realize until we looked into it.
Like even if you just think about these movies from a cultural point, like just knowing about them, you wouldn't expect Salim Javed, who wrote both films, to be like the same author. Because they, especially watching it. Like, this movie is so unique. Like, how did Salim Javed write this?
So, wait, isn't Salim Javed two guys? Like, Salim?
Yeah, exactly.
And then
Salim,
Javed Akhtar.
Yeah, Salim Khan and Javed Akhtar.
Yeah.
They were two different people.
Yeah.
And they kind of came together. They both started out in different areas of filmmaking. I believe Javed Akhtar was a screenwriter and a writer in general. Salim Khan started out as an actor, but they came together to start making, making scripts for all of our Salman Khan fans. There, Salim Khan is obviously Salman Khan's dad.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah.
I also don't give really that much attention to Salman Khan, but I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, Salim.
Huh. Yeah.
Right.
And the director of this film, and this is why Amir Khan's in the film, I would presume, is Nasir Hussain, who is the uncle? Some sort of relationship to Amir Khan. So, you know, nepotism, that also is big in Hindi cinema. It's always been there, actually.
Yeah.
I think in every episode we've discussed like brothers or sons or something. Of people, so that has not changed.
No, never changed.
Student
never
of the Year to Tiger Shroff, and like, isn't one like Chunky Pandey's daughter?
Oh,
is it?
Is,
I don't know.
Pandey? Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I assume with the Pandey.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I just thought she was some other person. I didn't know it was Chunky Pandey's.
Chunky Pandey's, yeah.
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 That's a real person, by the way. Some person's named Chunky.
You know, he was pretty good looking back in the day. I
guess.
Back in the day. Back
in
the
day.
But his name is Chunky Pandey.
Like, he wants to be known as Chunky. Like, we're not calling him Chunky.
Work it.
Yeah, exactly.
Own it. It's all right, Chunky. You do what you want. The film also launched the career of Zeenat Aman.
Yeah.
My idol. Honestly, that woman is amazing. She was great in this film. And she there's the popular song.
Yeah.
yeah, that was like such an iconic.
Yeah.
And like totally like part of that romantic part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you play that back to back with like one of Dharminder's like parkour
yeah.
moments, it's like two different films.
For sure.
But somehow they're in the same film, so
yeah.
you know, masala. Yeah. We should talk about Ajit.
Yeah.
Dude, Ajit, like, what if? He's my favorite villain of all time.
Yeah. Shaka.
Yeah. Shaka. And he, like, starts off the film by wearing a cowboy hat. And, like...
yeah, what's up with, like, the Western aspect of this movie?
They
like,
love Westerns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
I enjoy Westerns, so it was fun to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that whole, like, plot line of how he ends up being caught because of his... Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Because of his shoes that aren't matching.
Yeah.
That's like...
He has two different
shoes.
Shoes.
And how does that guy remember after all those years? Was it Jack? Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
Jack.
Yeah.
That would be something you remember.
I suppose so. If you're
right?
Like, he puts you in prison.
Exactly.
That is a valid point. Yeah. That's true. Anyways, but I think, like, you do have to put, like, your logic, like, on hold
mm-hmm.
throughout this film, because
yeah.
there are some moments, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, the whole, okay, Zenith Amon and that, what's his name? Vijay.
Yeah.
I forget who plays him, but, yeah, Zenith Amon plays Sunitha.
Yeah.
She's, like, the rich girl, and then Vijay's, like, the groundskeeper's son, and he, like... They fall in love by playing a whole bunch of pranks on each other, which is, like, okay. then, whatever. And then he, like, doesn't... Like, they fall in love, but he doesn't tell her that he's not a millionaire like he was
yeah.
telling this whole time. And then he gets mad at her and, like, leaves because she... Like, he overhears her talking to her dad that she... Like, okay, that he's a rich guy, so he's worthy. I mean, it's like, bro, you didn't tell her.
Yeah.
You're not a millionaire,
yeah,
so, like...
yeah, I don't know why he had a problem with her just... I thought she was joking, too, with her dad.
Yeah.
Her dad's like, oh, you know, that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are you mad? You lied to her twice.
Twice,
because
yeah.
he, like, lies about having cancer.
Oh, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, that... I was like,
oh,
man,
love
exactly.
in the 70s.
Exactly. So I'm just like, don't pretend to have the higher moral ground.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
You both were shitty to each other, but yeah.
But we're shitty people deserve each other, I
exactly,
guess.
Exactly.
So that's that. but yeah, this film in comparison to Vibar is. Like, I mean, on the surface, quite different, but I think they're similar in
mm-hmm.
some ways. But yeah, let's talk more about the bar.
Vijay, aaj tumhare naye kaam ka pehla din hai. Ye lo, rakho. Daur saab, bahut baras pehle aap race khelne jaya karte the. Aur hamesha ek jagah gaadi rok kar apne joote polish karwate the. Haan, kyun? Main aaj bhi pheke hue paise nahi uthata.
So, Diwar was released in 1975. That was the year the emergency was called.
June 25th, 1975.
Thank you. And the film was released on...
I don't actually have that.
24th January, 1975.
Oh, January, okay.
Yeah,
so
it was a few months before.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think the movie does a really good job in exploring what India was like at the time, especially like urban environments, like the changing and like the tumultuous
mm.
socio-political climate of that era. I think a lot of literature regarding the film and even the reception of the film is credited with how India was changing at this time. And there was so much like resentment towards authoritarian figures that all of a sudden the movie just shows that, like, the main character embodies all of that anger and all that resentment. So, and it's definitely an interesting way to look at it. an essay that I found by Jyothika Ridley appeared in the June 1993 issue of Jump Cut, a review of contemporary media. It was called Diwar, the Fiction of Film and the Fact of Politics. It again explores like how the different like aspects of like the political climate was being reflected into the film.
Well, like even in the very start, and not even talking about Amitabh's character, but like the start of the film. So yeah, like I guess about the film, it's like basically Mother India, but the like from the view of the son, and not the mom.
It's a good way of putting it because Salim and Javed, they both credited two films actually. It was Mother India and another film called Ganga Jamuna, which starred Dilip Kumar.
Mm.
They said that.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, me neither. And Salim Javed, they credited Ganga Jamuna and Mother India as like the films that inspired Diwar, especially the structure of it, I think.
Yeah.
And like, and you can definitely see a lot of like connections between the films. Definitely like how it explores like a family being split apart.
Mm-hmm. And like the family being split apart happens because like the father figure, he's a union leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like goes to the capitalist boss and has all these demands. But then the guy like kidnaps the family and then says like no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't go down this path, otherwise I'll kill your family. And then he's like, okay. Like family comes first.
Uh-huh.
Which
for
is
sure.
Good, I guess. So again it was like that like fighting against the power.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, like the guy, like it ends up destroying the family, and the guy, what does he do? Like, goes, the father goes off to like live on trains his whole life.
Yeah, pretty much. He just goes off living this
like
ascetic lifestyle.
I just
like
assumed, I assumed it was gonna be like suicide, but because you can't really show suicide at the time.
Yeah,
I would assume
so
that was kind
they were
of
just showing
the
them, like, going through
innuendo.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, just he doesn't do anything. He just sits on trains and like waits.
Where does he get the money to?
I don't know. I think he just like begs for money.
Yeah, a little plot
exactly.
Hole. Okay. He just sits on
the
train. I mean, you know, that's fun. But yeah, even like how it's split apart is this tension between the capitalist
and like labor.
Yeah. Which was happening prior to the emergency, and I think is a reason why the emergency even started.
There were a lot of things going on during this time, a lot to do with corruption and like economic problems. Some are related to the refugee crisis that happened after the Bangladesh Liberation War.
Right. Because that's when Bangladesh really.
Yeah, that's when
became.
After
Bangladesh.
After that, that's when Bangladesh formed, and it was a big success for Indira Gandhi, but it did definitely lead to crises like the refugee crisis, where a lot of like minorities from Bangladesh moved into India,
right?
And there were other issues like droughts, which led to food shortages, major labor strikes, mostly to unemployment and inflation leading to price hikes, the international oil shock that affected the entire world also affected India. So yeah, there was so much going on affecting India at the time that it definitely shows up in Diwar, especially the character of Vijay, which is played by Amitabh Bachchan.
Which is really what the film is known for, the angry
Man. The angry young man. That's something that Javed Akhtar himself said about the angry young man in an interview recently in like 2017, that regarding the angry young man era of Amitabh's career, said, Amitabh Ji played the angry young man in Zanjeer, but it was Diwar that established him. When I'd seen Angry Young Man in Mother India and Ganga Jamuna, But those characters were diluted as the films had romance, drama, and songs too. With Amitabh Ji, the angry young man flourished as it was undiluted. That was an impact that people have yet to get over.
Mm.
And it's definitely like evident in the film, even if you don't know a lot of like the culture context of it. Amitabh's performance is so good in the film that you realize that he is angry with society, he's angry with politicians, angry with like the police, and basically angry with the world.
Mm.
And he shows it, and
yeah.
He does get into like the underworld with smuggling and stuff, but his intentions are really clear, and I don't think he ever is doing it for bad reasons.
Yeah, it's always like for his mom or
mm-hmm.
Really to get a better life. And
exactly.
I love, and like everyone knows this, the part when he has a conversation with his brother, played by Shashi Kapoor. So basically, like in the film, Vijay, the older brother, has not gotten education and is like, was like a shoe shine boy to help his brother go to school and get educated and to grow up. And lo and behold, the younger brother goes to become a cop, of course. And then Vijay is in the underworld, and so obviously tensions arise.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Shashi Kapoor's character Ravi, is that his name? Yeah. Ravi, obviously, the case he's put on is to go and catch Vijay and his gang. But really, like, this all right before the climax ends up with like Vijay and Ravi having this conversation, and Vijay's like, yo, dude, like, your ideals, like, F them. Like, I have all this stuff. Like, what do you have, bro? Like, I know I've been doing, like, shitty things, but I got all this stuff. Like, your ideals and values haven't helped you at all.
We were all together on this footpath. But where are you from today? And where am I from? Today, I have a building, property, bank balance, bungalow, car. What do you have?
मेरे पास माँ है।
Which means I have mom.
I'm mom. And that can be read. Now you know, like, the context this was kind of based on Mother India and all that.
Yeah.
It can be read in so many ways. Like, he literally does have the mom because she's with him. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he has, like, it, like, he has India, like,
exactly.
The idea, like, there's all this corruption and stuff, but at the very, like, if you take that all away, there's still this, like, beating heart of India, and if you hold on to that, and there's true, I guess, your values, or whatever, you'll be okay.
You'll be fine.
I think that's really what Salim Javed were trying to get at.
Yeah.
At least that's my viewing of it.
No, for sure. I think, like, one of the great things about this movie is that how Salim Javed and the filmmakers in general explored the idea of nationalism versus anti-nationalism, where you obviously symbolically the characters of Vijay explores an anti-nationalist, and Ravi, the police officer, is the nationalist, and you're always on the side of Vijay, though. We never feel like he's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he does illegal things, but he never intentionally hurts anyone, or he never, like, steals from, like, anyone who doesn't deserve it.
Right.
So, it's a great character, and that's something that Amitabh Bachchan said in an interview, too, is, like, why people love the character is, like, he's treading a line that's, like, good or bad, which I think all great characters are about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, this movie does that so well.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I really want to root for him.
Yeah.
And sometimes Ravi seems like he's in the wrong, because, like, why are you just trying to stop this guy? He's, like, trying to do the best for his mom. And so the dialogue that's happened in the movie is really good. The second thing that I liked about this film is that the way they show Ravi becoming a police officer is also interesting. Because
yeah.
in any other film, I think, it would have been easy to just say, oh, let's just make him a cop from the start. That way we can just get into the drama of it.
Right.
But we can just get into the story of him trying to catch his brother. And I thought that's what was going to happen in the movie, because I've never seen it before. But they actually show him struggling through unemployment. Like, he's going from job interview to
yeah.
job interview. He's getting, like, rejected from some jobs because of nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he just gives up a job because he realizes someone else deserves it more. And so they're showing, like, look at how the idea of unemployment is affecting everyone.
Yeah.
And
corruption, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can have all the... He says this.
Hey, did you? लेकिन सर अभी अभी तो आपने
हाँ मैंने कहा था लेकिन अभी अभी तो बात हुई जनरल मैनेजर साहब से वो उनकी वाइफ का ब्रदर है ना यू से डिजर्विंग भी है यू से
यस सर आई कैन सी
लेकिन मिस्टर रवि आप बुरा मत मानिए
नहीं सर मैं कैसे बुरा मान सकता हूँ बुराई तो खुद मुझ में है मेरी फाइल में डिग्री है सर्टिफिकेट्स हैं सिफारिश का एक भी खत नहीं थैंक यू सर
इट्स लाइक यू कैन हैव ऑल दीस क्वालिफिकेशंस बट इफ यू डोंट नो समवन देन यू आर फक्ड
या नो लाइक दैट्स सो यूनिवर्सल आई थिंक
एस्पेशियली एट दैट टाइम वेल इवन नाउ
इवन नाउ
अनदर रियली कूल पार्ट इज व्हेन ही I don't know what exactly, like, he's not a cop yet, but he's, like, training to be a cop, I think, at this point, but he sees someone stealing, and he's like, yo, like,
yeah.
stop, bro, and the guy doesn't stop, so he runs after him, stops him, and then finds out it was just, like, a loaf of bread he stole, because
yeah.
he's so poor,
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, that, I mean, yeah, any other film, it's like, yeah, just show him chasing a bad guy, whatever, but I think they were trying to get something get at something deeper
oh yeah
that
sure.
like yeah like you viewed it nationalist versus anti-nationalist
mm-hmm.
I actually viewed it as if Vinci was like or symbolizing like the old India
mm-hmm.
or like the sorry not old India but like the present India
yeah
and Vijay or sorry not Vijay Ravi is representing like the future India like what you want India to be
yeah.
But Ravi became Ravi or like India can only become that through the blood and sweat of
mm-hmm.
what's happening right now like the what do you call it the sweat and tears of Vijay like all like he like forsaked his education for Ravi like India is dealing with the corruption or whatever but like they're trying to get to this newer India. That's how, I don't know, that's how I was reading it.
That's like an interesting take.
A bit more. But, like, yeah, I mean, to me, like, the characters aren't just, a family. They're actually deeper. It's like, it's actually
mm-hmm.
India they're talking about.
No, for sure.
And, like, you can't help but read it like that because of what was happening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, with the emergency that happened, like, some of the stuff I was reading, I didn't even know, like, basically, like, some of the stuff, you could be kidnapped legally,
yeah.
tortured legally, there were mass sterilizations,
yeah.
People were blacklisted if you had different views, Gandhi's administration could basically, like, make up laws, change laws, and I think some of those laws still exist even now. Don't know which ones but things like that you know it like what a fearful time oh and yeah press censorship so like to live in such a tumultuous time like yeah no wonder people were angry
that's what I think Javed Akhtar definitely talks about is that he was actually surprised that so many people took to Vijay so positively and he never saw the film as an allegory or Vijay as an allegory of Indian youth he just accepted it.
Yeah.
Because he realized, like, yeah, they do have a point.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah, I mean, you know, you as an artist or whatever, you can make a piece of art, but the moment you make it, and this is at least how I, my opinion, you make it, you put it out there, then how people view it is not up to you anymore.
Sure.
It's, that's art. Like, it's how the viewer views it,
yeah.
You know? So, sorry, Chapman. But that's how we're going to view it. there was one, I mean, everyone talks about the Mere Pas Mahe part, but there was one other speech in the film that I really enjoyed was when, now I can't actually remember why this happened, but their mom ends up getting sick. Do you remember how?
That's
I forget how she gets sick.
She, they never explain how she gets
sick.
Just
gets,
and she's like,
mom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, mom. You're old. You're sick. Vijay, and at this point, Vijay has never gone to the temple because he's like obviously very angry at God and like, why go? But his mom's sick and everything's crumbling around him. And he goes to the temple and.
Aaj, khush to baat hoge tum. Dekho, jo aaj tak tumhare mandir ki seedhiyan nahi chadha, jisne aaj tak tumhare samne sar nahi jhukaya, jisne aaj tak kabhi tumhare samne haath nahi jode, wo aaj tumhare samne haath phailaye khada hai. बहुत खुश होगे तुम, बहुत खुश होगे कि आज मैं आ गया. लेकिन तुम जानते हो कि जिस वक्त मैं यहां खड़ा हूं, वो औरत जिसके माथे से तुम्हारी चौखट का पत्थर घिस गया, वो औरत जिस पर जुल्म बढ़े तो उसकी पूजा बढ़ी, वो औरत जो जिंदगी भर जलती रही लेकिन तुम्हारे मंदिर में दीप जलाती रही, वो औरत आज जिंदगी और मौत की सरहद पर खड़ी है. और ये तुम्हारी हार है, ये तुम्हारी हार है. क्या कसूर है उसका? कौन सा पाप, कौन सा जुर्म किया है उसने? क्या उसका जुर्म यह है कि वो मेरी मां है? क्या उसका जुर्म यह है कि उसने मुझे जन्म दिया है? क्या उसका जुर्म यह है कि मैं उससे प्यार करता हूं? ये किस जुर्म की सजा दी जा रही है उसे?
But basically, what he's saying here is like, what more do you want, God? Like, I've, you know, like, sure, like, she's done nothing at all. She's always prayed. She's always been, like, a good person.
Yeah.
India.
Yeah.
What, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed that.
No,
and
for sure.
It was a monologue, too, and, like, I am not the biggest Amitabh Bachchan fan, and I'm talking about, like, more recent Amitabh Bachchan, because he only plays Amitabh Bachchan, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Really?
But, no, I don't, because he only ever plays himself. But, I think, you like, this was my first time watching Divaar. Like, I've seen, like, Dawn and, like, you know, some of the older stuff, but this was my first time actually watching this film.
So, Divaar contains a lot of religious symbolism. The two that jumped out to me were Sumitra Devi, who is the mother of Vijay and Ravi's character, and also the badge number given to Vijay as he's working as a coolie on the docks. It's 786.
Mm.
So the first one, Sumitra Devi, the significance there is that her name, Devi, means goddess, and you definitely see that as a parallel to Mother India, because in Mother India, the character played by Nargis, her name is derived from a Hindu goddess. So there's definitely that like extension of like the mother being this goddess figure, and that needs to be respected and that needs to be like prayed after and like looked after. And so, yeah, and for the second one, the badge number 786, it holds a significance in Islam. 786 is like the Muslim numerology.
Yeah, it's and it's like the Arabic word for like bismillah. Or like bismillah.
Yeah, so which means in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that a lot of Muslims say before praying, and
mm-hmm.
they often say it like, I don't want to say casually, but just after something good happens,
or
something's about to happen. Just basically kind of like saying,
I don't know, bismillah, you kind of just say, when it's something good's happening,
So, there's like, there was this interesting thing about Vijay having that, holding on to the 786 badge number, and
mm-hmm.
having someone named Sumitra Devi being his mom, and this idea that Vijay, like, holds on to him, the notion of India, Hinduism, and Islam being like together, that I really found interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I like the part when he, at the beginning, when he's working as a coolie, he doesn't like all the extortion that's happening,
mm-hmm.
so he goes up to his boss,
yeah.
and the boss is like, forget about it.
Yeah,
no. Then he has a fight in the cafeteria. When he's had enough, and I don't know if you noticed this, but in the fight scene, he starts the fight, and there's a photo of Gandhi at the top, which, like, you know, Gandhi, who is, like, the pinnacle figure of, like, nonviolence, his photo, like, is there, and then there's all this, like, fighting happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, it was kind of this way, at least this is my reading of it, like, this way of showing how we've gone away from that non-violence, that, like, we're going to fight the power. Which I think, when we're talking at this greater theme of, like, the journey of Hindi cinema towards Bollywood, this is the turning point where now things are changing because people have had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a greater theme we see all over the world, like, the 70s in America, you've got the American New Wave, which was like a direct response to the tumultuous time
mm-hmm.
there. And so we've got things like Vivar, which, like, and we talked about the cinematography, so gritty, and it reminded
mm-hmm.
me a lot of like the French Connection and movies like that, because it was like a lot of handheld, like moving
like
with
tracking
shots. Yeah, it's like moving with the characters rather than having them move towards sort of away from the camera, which you like if you look at the films we viewed last episode wasn't there, and I think that really only started then,
mm-hmm.
And you don't see it too much in Yadav Ki Barat, but you see it in the bar, trying to get it that like angry.
Yeah, I know. There's something that Jyothika really points out that. She says in their essay that the film Diwar appeared in 1976, roughly 30 years after independence, in a decade that was characteristically different from the earlier two decades. The 50s were a period of reconstruction, optimism, and hope. The 60s were a period of setback, albeit one of solidarity. By the late 60s, the dream of the springtime after the liberation from colonial rule, as Timothy Brennan puts it, was over.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's
true
of like America and like Europe or anywhere. You see that the 60s, like the 50s and 60s were a time where there was a lot of prosperity, but it was only being felt by a few people.
Mm-hmm.
The 60s was a time when the hippie movement was coming along, but it was also the time of like the anti-Vietnam War and the civil rights movements were coming, and then all of a sudden the 70s come along and you have things like Watergate and the revealing of like what exactly happened in Vietnam, and all these things that would lead to anger and resentment.
Mm-hmm.
It's felt even in India, obviously. So.
Yeah, and each country sort of had their own
mm-hmm.
problems,
yeah.
but all, like, if you think bigger picture, this was all happening at the same time, so no wonder it was an angry young India.
Yeah, that's a perfect title.
Yeah. I thought of it last night. I was like, oh, this is a great title. So yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, thanks for listening. Next episode will be our last of this series, Journey Through Indie Cinema. We'll be talking, I guess, more than 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s. I don't know if we want to throw 2000 film there. No, let's do 90s.
We're just ignoring the 80s.
Yeah. Let's do 80s and 90s.
Sure.
They're, like, I think they're very
similar.
Yeah. Which is the more idyllic. Remember Amir Khan, because he will pop up in the next episode. But it's a very different time period.
I think there's like the idea of like the NRI version of
India.
That's like
the more sweet version, the more like angelic version, which is such a shift from what we just talked about. But yeah, I think in like for me especially, remembering what happened in the 70s and reading it like through these films, it's been really good for me to like really understand India as a country more, and like where I come from and like where my parents and my family comes from. And that's why I really, really enjoyed watching these films. I don't know if you had the same.
No, like I said, like this is a great opportunity for me to explore like Bollywood and India at the same time, because I know like the basics of things, but getting to learn like how the emergency, what led up to the emergency and what happened during the emergency is like a big shock to me. I've learned I knew about a few things like the forced sterilization, obviously the like human rights violations that happened during that time, and like the kind of like anti-minority like violence that happened as well. So all of these things were like known to me, but the sort of specifics are not, and this is like a great opportunity for to learn about it.
And like listeners, I personally highly recommend you like go out, like learn more about it, and also like if you enjoy films, watch the films from those eras, from that era, and like other eras too, because it really helps you understand kind of what was happening. But yeah, do that and catch us next month. Sorry for missing last month, but catch us next month for more about the 80s and 90s. Thanks again for listening. Again, if you have any comments, thoughts, ideas for future episodes, please email us at pkp.podcast@gmail.com. Check out our website, pkppodcast.wixsite.com/podcast. We're also on SoundCloud, YouTube, and Google Music.
Yeah.
Google Play Music. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.